This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. If you've ever been faced with the daunting task of choosing a wine from a long list at a fine restaurant, you may have enlisted the help of a wine sommelier. The sommelier is an expert who's charged with creating the wine list, procuring the selections, and guiding patrons on which wines will pair best with their meals. But what happens when you're not sure what kind of water to order? Our next guest can help you with that decision. Martin Risa is America's only water sommelier. He's also the general manager at Ray's and Stark Bar at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, which boasts a 44-page water menu. And Martin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, thank you for being on the show.
A 44-page water menu, it seems kind of overwhelming. How are the different waters arranged? Is it like wine where certain waters are paired with chicken and others are paired with steak?
So my water list starts kind of with the countries. So it's alphabetically in order by countries because every single country has beautiful springs. And the really funny thing is, and a lot of people still don't believe that actually, and this is my part right now here in America, that water is not just water. Water actually has taste. It all depends on the mineral level where the water is coming from. And every single country and every single grounds have different mineral levels, and therefore you can actually taste the terroir of the water.
So, I mean, I can understand that in the sense that I have had, I have had tap water that I thought tasted funny. But I guess the degree of difference here, maybe in terms of taste of water, is not the same as taste of, say, wines from lowest quality to highest.
No, correct. You're absolutely right. What I'm saying, like by wine, it's kind of similar, but you should think it's all about like one grape and the water, the grape called water. So, for example, it's not about like a Pinot Noir tastes differently than a Cabernet Sauvignon or like a Riesling to a Sauvignon Blanc. By water, it's more like imagine you have a Riesling from Washington State and a Riesling from Germany and a Riesling from California. And they're all tasting slightly different. And this is the same what we're doing in water. So they're all tasting slightly different, but it's not like that this one water suddenly is red and the other water suddenly yellow.
So let's stick with this wine comparison. When people try wines, you know, there's a variety of rituals, you know, smelling the wine, swirling the glass for oxygen, palate cleansers. Now, do you have a process for when you drink water that's similar?
I'm always checking, first of all, the taste or actually the smell of the glass, because glasses can have a smell as well. It depends when they're not really cleaned. Actually, you're doing the same when you're doing wine tastings. You're always like pushing a little bit air in your glass with your nose and then like inhale this air to see if actually the glass is like completely free of odors. That's extremely important by water because water should be odorless. And when you have suddenly like a like disturbing odor from a water glass, that really doesn't give you the whole experience in water. The second thing is literally like I'm drinking like in a water tasting the same what I would do in a wine tasting. I'm actually not chilling down my waters because I want to have like the whole like experience of a water. And it's all by wine tastings as well. When you're chilling down all your wines extremely down, you will not taste anymore all the aspects of the wine. So when you're chilling down a beverages, and I know Americans love to chill down beverages, but they're sometimes actually losing the ability of taste profiles or the drinks what they're actually drinking. So stick away from ice cubes and this kind of things, especially by water tasting. And then I'm like swirling it. I'm putting oxygen as well into my mouth to see like the whole flavor access to gain my palate. And I'm drinking water the same like what I would do in a wine tasting, except for one big thing. I don't have to spit it out. That's a beautiful thing about a water tasting. I can get drunk.
Yeah, but you must have to go to the bathroom all the time.
I'm tasting water professional since 2005, and I don't want to know how many times I'm spending on the bathrooms.
So in 2010, you received your certification as a mineral water sommelier from the German Mineral Water Trade Association. Now, was there a lot of training or an exam that went into that?
So it was kind of interesting. I told you since 2005, I'm doing like water tastings and I'm rethinking my use of water. Because a customer came up to my restaurant and said, "Hey, Martin, you'd have 1,500 different positions of wine, but you just have one water brand. And I don't like that water brand. Do you have something else for me?" And he kind of opened my eyes because I realized as a child already that water has taste. And I thought like, hey, here we are in the restaurant business. It's all about options. And when it comes to water, we're just saying sparkling, flat, or tap. And this, I think, should be changed because water has taste. So I created this water menu. I started to drink water all the time. I wrote a book in 2008, actually, about water. It's 200 pages thick. And then in 2010, the Water Trade Association came up to me and said, Martin, you have so much knowledge. We should give you a certification for that, because we need people like you to tell other people that water is not just water. So in 2010, I received my certification.
So has anybody ever tried to pull a fast one on you and just, you know, tell you that you're tasting a water from the Alps or that's melted from a glacier when it's really, in fact, just tap water to sort of test your abilities?
Oh, all the time. That's normal for me, actually. That's my daily basis here. My wife and I went to Vegas for like 3 months ago, and we went over there to a restaurant and they recognized me. And it's kind of scary, actually. I'm here since 3.5 years, and then people recognize me as a water sommelier. I don't know if I really feel comfortable with that. I just want to give options to my guests. That's pretty much it, what I want to do. But still, I came to this restaurant, and they had 3 glasses of water right in front of me. One was Las Vegas tap and 2 other spring waters. And I tasted right away the Las Vegas tap water. And they looked at me like, oh my God, you really can do it. He said, yeah, sure, definitely I can do it. I'm not like trying to pretend to do something. I'm actually a thirsty guy.
Martin, can you be sure that a bottled water comes from the place that it's advertised as coming from? I've heard that the industry, forgive the pun, I've heard that the industry isn't always transparent.
The industry is transparent. You just have to look at the labels. And here in America, the laws are very, very strict about this. And when it says purified water, that means actually it comes from a tap water source or something like this. So bottled water is not just bottled water. And we're thinking, oh, we have tap water and we have just bottled water. Bottled water has huge differences. So we're starting with purified water. That means it's actually nothing else than tap water. Then we have spring water, comes from the spring where it's labeled on. And we have mineral water, what has to have a TDS level. And TDS stands for total dissolved solids. So that means it has a lot of minerals in it, at least by 500 TDS or more. So these are the 3 aspects of bottled water, what you can buy here in America.
So how do you win over the naysayers then, who say that water has no taste, that say that there's no difference between them, and that, you know, you shouldn't be paying more or less for a certain type of water because of its mineral content? Do you have a pitch for them, or do you just let it lie?
I have a pitch definitely for them, and a 100% success rate on that pitch. They just have to come to my restaurant. I will get them a small water flight with 3 different waters, and everybody's realizing, oh my God, water actually has a taste. And then it's all about preference. When people are saying LA tap is fine for me, I would never argument with that. Sure, that's their taste. Great, wonderful. I'm providing water for people. So for me, actually, it doesn't matter what you want to drink. It's for me about which water would be the best for your palate, for your health. And this is the reason where I'm coming in then, and we'll tell you, hey, you should maybe try this water, you should try this water, this water has that impact on that wine. And then it's getting interesting and fascinating. And I have to say as well, like, a lot of kids love the water menu. They're coming to my restaurant. They think, first of all, it's so funny because every single water has like its own page with a bottle shape and everything. So they love to look in it. And kids have the ability, because their palate is so unique still, and it's not like ruined kind of by all the spices what we're eating over our whole life, that they can really taste water very uniquely, in a very unique way. And they love to do water tastings. They feel like grown up. They suddenly can do tastings. They're getting wine glasses from me, and they can zip in the different waters. They love the whole experience.
Well, Martin, I'll raise a toast to that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Always, always. Thank you.
Martin Risa is the general manager and water sommelier at Rays and Stark Bar at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. We've got links to find out more at our website, wordofmouthradio.org. Well, Martin was so convincing, we decided to engineer our own little water taste test. So producer Logan Shannon hit the grocery store, cleaned a few of her nicest tumblers, so no weird glass smell. And she and senior producer Maureen McMurray joined me in the studio to sample some high-quality H2O.
Okay, so we're going to start with Voss.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
So this is from Norway.
Well, I rinsed my mouth out with tap to get the morning coffee out of my mouth, and this is much smoother.
So Martin's notes for Voss was that it would be slightly bitter and metallic.
Oh, I'm definitely not getting that.
Okay. So the next one we're going to try is Fiji water, which is a pretty iconic bottle.
And it's more expensive whenever I go into like a gas station or something. If I'm feeling fancy, I'll get the Fiji.
Yeah, it's definitely high-end water.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this tastes more like tap to me. Like there's more of a minerally flavor.
Or something like musty.
a musty mineral flavor.
His tasting notes on this were fruity and smooth.
No.
Fruity? That is a joke. It's water.
All right.
I wish I could taste what he tastes.
I know.
This is so sad.
I know. Well, now we will move on to the sparkling mineral waters. So this is San Pellegrino, which I would say most restaurants serve if you ask for sparkling water.
This, I mean, obviously it has a taste.
Yeah.
I think the hard thing for me is that most of the water that I drink to counteract all the coffee. And so this, of all the waters we've tasted, is the only one thus far that I can actually enjoy a little bit because it has some taste and texture, and it's not just I'm trying to hydrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a little personality to it.
Yeah, it's got a little zing. We've got one more
left. We've got one more, and this is also from Italy. This is Blue Italy, which you can buy at Trader Joe's.
This one already sounds more aggressive.
Oh, that is totally and utterly different.
Wow, yeah.
That one absolutely is.
Mm. Even the aftertaste.
Well, the fizz fizzed harder and faster on my tongue. I'm not sure which one. I think I like the San Pellegrino better.
I do too.
And I would choose Hawaiian for my still. I really liked that water.
I'm going for the still simply based on the bottle design with Voss.
Oh, yeah.
I think for the still water, I'm going with tap.
Because it's free.
Because it's free. All right. Well done. Thank you. Cheers. If you'd like to try your own water taste test, water sommelier Martin Risa suggested a few to try. We've got more info plus a link to his 44-page water menu at wordofmouthradio.org. Here in the U.S., getting water is as easy as turning on a faucet. In Nepal, however, it can be very serious business. Reporter Lauren Spiro discovered this for herself when she spent 9 months living with a family in a small farming village in central Nepal. And she brings us this story.
The water tap closest to our house is a small concrete pen with a spout protruding from a rock. There's usually a scattering of people, mostly women and girls chattering nonchalantly around a cluster of tin jugs. But don't be deceived. This is a battleground. Now, there are rules. Rule number one, you must adhere at all times to a strict system of maneuvering. It works like this. As I arrive, I set down my tin jugs close to the spout, but not too close. Confident, but not cocky. I am now in line. Rule number two. There is no line. It's a virtual line where everyone takes note of who has arrived when. Still, your place must be defended as your turn approaches by moving closer to the spout. Vigilantly, but not presumptuously. Rule number three. The virtual line is enforced through joint regulation. We watch for cheaters who move their jugs in too close, too quickly. Cheaters are handled with varying degrees of severity, depending on their age, status, and ferocity. I lack all three of these advantages, so for me, outright cheating is not an option. However, that brings us to rule number four. Tactical alliances may be arranged. This is my specialty. Let's say an aggressor places their water jug under the spout when it's my turn. I exchange glances with, say, Lakshmi, the girl who does housework for the school headmaster. Lakshmi climbs up behind the water spout, thereby monopolizing access, and then shouts, "Laura, Dee Dee, sister!" as if my name is a football play. I hand her my water jug, and she hooks it right under the spout until the offender has removed their vessel from underneath it. And then, to prove a point, when my jug is full, I hand Lakshmi hers, so that there's never an opening for challenge. Then we declare victory and walk home together while the old ladies yell after us. Rule 5 is the trickiest. The water tap involves all kinds of unspoken social conventions that are completely invisible to the uninitiated. For example, you may find, as I did on a particularly busy day, that just as you arrive, a woman will begin to yell at you in a furious tumble of incomprehensible words. And you may think, quite correctly, I am in full accordance with the system of maneuvering as you make your way at the proper speed towards the water spout. But then the woman will take a palmful of water and toss it into your face for no reason whatsoever. Back at the house, Amma is waiting for me, and I cry indignantly that her only American daughter has been mistreated at the water tap. Amma sighs and then explains, I must have stood too close to low caste water jugs, and in the Hindu caste system, water is a conductor of impurity. The tainted object, in this case, me, can be cleansed with a sprinkling of water that has touched gold, such as an earring. Our neighbor had been looking out for my high-caste Brahmin family by purifying the foolish foreign water girl. So much for the system. Some rules can only be learned on the job.
That piece came to us from the World Vision Report. And we stay on the international stage for a bit longer. When Word of Mouth returns, we'll speak with National Geographic's chief content officer to find out what goes into selecting the cover of the magazine. That conversation when Word of Mouth returns.